Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Let's break down verse 17 really quick here. We'll break it down late in later weeks, later sessions. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Those are not two different gifts that he's talking about. Every good gift is not perfect. Say, what does that mean? Everything that's good is not from God. But everything from God is good. So every good gift is not perfect, but every perfect gift is good. So how do you know if the good thing that you have is a God thing? It's called Holy Spirit. It's called discernment. It's called being in touch, so in touch with God that when something good comes in your life, God says, I know it's good. I know it looks good, smells good, tastes good, feels good, but that's not for me. And good, church, can become the enemy of great. Good can derail the will of God for your life. And we want to make sure that everything that we are getting is coming straight from the source. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from above. Meaning there's no other place to get it than from above. That is the only source there is. Whom there is no variableness and no shadow of turning. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the verse that when my counterparts will say that Jesus no longer works miracles in 2022, this is the verse that I stand on. How can you tell me that Jesus doesn't heal when he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? How can you tell me that Jesus doesn't deliver people from evil spirits when he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Don't let small-minded, misguided people talk you out of your miracle, talk you out of what God has promised you. If it's in the book, if it's in the Word of God, it's still for you. Those promises are still yes and amen, all 7,000 of them. I am here to tell you the Holy Spirit and that infilling of the Holy Spirit wasn't just for the apostles, wasn't just for those disciples, because I got news for you. We're disciples of Jesus. We're apostles of Jesus, and if he did it then, he'll do it now. Why? Because I'm not looking at you or them as my source. I'm going straight to the source. This is not in my notes. This is just for free. You know why gossip is so bad? It's recycled and resourced material. If you hear something crazy about me, come talk to me. I'll set you straight. I'll tell you I made a mistake and I'm better, or that is a bald-faced lie. That never happened like that. I want you to come straight to me. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You don't even have to get a meeting. We can just do it all by email. This is where, and this is just something fun. One of my pet peeves is having meetings that could be taken care of in an email form. And so I sent to one of my friends the other day. I said, before you call me, make sure it's textable. And if it's not textable, make it textable. But you can come to the source. You never want to believe someone else about something else that they're not connected to nor have an investment in. See, my investment is in the kingdom of God, and my investment is not in Living Way. My investment is in kingdom, and I happen to minister and pour out at Living Way. Can I encourage you? What you are invested in is Jesus. What you are invested in is kingdom. Don't let someone who has not made the same investment belittle your investment or talk you out of the return on your investment. God is my source. I have it in here too because I told you I'm going to mention it every Sunday. Get your hopes up. That's our theme this year. Get your hopes up. Some of you are wearing the shirt today. Get your hopes up. Keep your hopes up. Once they get to a level, don't ever go back to how it used to be. Keep your hopes up. And my hope is who? Is in who? Jesus, my anchor, my source. God is my source. God is your source. Quit treating him like a resource. You know what we do when we find resources? We tap them out until they have nothing left. Some of us have lost relationships because we take until they have nothing left to give. And we don't give them anything. And then we wonder why people leave us alone. We wonder why we walk through valleys by ourselves. We wonder why they have friends and we don't. It's because you tapped out the resource. One of the things I love about God is it doesn't matter what you ask Him for. It doesn't matter what He gives you. It doesn't matter what He gives them, or somewhere on the other side of the world. You cannot tap out the source that is Jesus Christ. He has everything you need and more, and should He ever start running out, which He won't, He is a creative God and can create everything that we need. That's the kind of source that I want. God is my source. God is your source. But let's put a name on our God, Jesus. Jesus is my source. I use this phrase a lot, and I use it a lot to try to talk you into what God has talked me into. I use this phrase a lot, and I probably overuse it, that we should lean into Jesus. I want to lean into what God is saying. Lean into what God is doing. When I feel faint, lean into. That way, if I fall, I fall in His hand. In times of confusion, leaning into the Holy Spirit as my counselor, as my guide. Jesus is my source. Everything else is a resource. Everything else is a resource. Jesus is my source. Everyone else is a resource. As much as I love everybody on this front row and on this platform, they're all resources. When I have a problem, I should not call Mandy first. I should not call, I'm a mama's boy. I should not call mom second. You say, why is she second? Because Mandy's first. I left my mother and my father and I cling to my wife, praise God. That's biblical. It's like three people clapping. Y'all need to get y'all's in-laws out of your business. So the smart aleck would say, if Jesus is your source of what? I'm glad you asked. Whatever I need, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, ministry, whatever it is, He is my source. He is my go-to. Write this down if you're taking notes. We live a very frustrating, miserable, and futile life when we look for fulfillment anywhere but Jesus Christ. When you look to resources, what only the source can provide, you're going to be miserable. You're going to get frustrated when you look to the world for love that can only come from Jesus. And you say, well, what does that mean? Because I want to get married and I want to have a family. You will never love people right until you love Jesus right. You will never know what it means to receive love until you've received His love. I patterned my love for my wife, for my children, for the closest relationships in my life after the love that was afforded to me through Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, everything you have, it is from Christ. Every word should be flowing from Him. Every deed should be flowing from Him. Every plan, every vision should be flowing from Him. And I am here to encourage you today, if you are miserable, if you are frustrated, can I encourage you to fix your faith back on Jesus, the source? The government is not your source. Living Way is not your source. Jesus is your source. You know why Living Way is not your source? Because if you came to everything we do, that's 6 or 7 hours a week. What are you going to do the other 160 hours? I know what I'm doing. I'm leaning into Jesus. I'm looking at the source. When I watch the news for 5 minutes and fear wants to show up and doubt wants to show up and worry wants to show up and the spirit of quit wants to show up, all I have to do is click CNN and Fox News to off and get alone with Jesus and worship or go to His word. And when I go to the source, it's amazing. He undoes all of the 5 minutes of bad news with the gospel and good news. Quit running to other sources and go to the source. I think it was back in the 80s, a country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many faces. There's a lot of us that are looking to resources for only what the source can bring us. There's a man named Matthew Wilder in 1983.
he released a song. And probably most of you don't even recognize that name, but you'll recognize the song. Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Nobody's gonna slow me down. Oh no, I got to keep on moving. And then I think some rapper sampled that a few years ago. But I wanna encourage you. When you know the source and you're focused on the source, nothing in this world can break your stride. Nothing in this world can break your stride. You just keep moving and you keep going. You just keep moving and you keep going. Bad news, I just keep moving and I keep going. And when you get one day of keep moving and keep going, you're building momentum for the second day to keep moving and to keep going, into the first, into the second week to keep going and to keep moving. And sooner or later, you're going to realize I'm a lot stronger and I've got so much momentum now that what stopped me last year is not going to stop me this year. Why? I'm more focused than I've ever been, and I'm tied in. I'm connected to the source that is Jesus Christ. Somebody say the source. The enemy will do anything he can to break your stride, to break your focus, to break your momentum. The enemy does three things to do that, to break your focus and momentum. Number one, and I preached this before, but I think it's apropos to preach again today in the context of our source. Number one, he wants to distract. Do you realize that there's some shady things going on in our government? Ukraine pops up, no one's talking about COVID. Well, I think President Biden's doing a good job. It doesn't matter whether you think he did a great job or President Trump did. All I know is viruses don't just disappear like that unless Jesus is involved. And from the looks of our politics, I don't think Jesus is involved in a lot of that. There's some shady things going on. You know what it is? Distractions. Moving pieces around while all of us are now looking at Ukraine, things are happening over here behind us. And I don't want to preach a political message, but I want us to bring that illustration to where we are at today. The enemy loves to break your focus by distracting you, because if he can get your eyes off of Jesus for one day, he can mess up your year. Distraction is anything that breaks your focus. I live in Seguin. I drive Interstate 10 every day. Interstate 10, I've never done the statistics on this, has a lot more accidents than Interstate 35. And they're not just fender benders. And I hate that phrase, y'all, because that's what they call me growing up, fender bender, all the time. I've yet to embrace it. I'm talking about flip-overs, rollovers, head-on collisions. And what I hate is it's a two-lane road. So once one of those accidents happens, it can be off of the road and everybody slows down because they're distracted. Can I talk to those of you that don't think God's moving fast enough? Maybe God is right on time as he always is. Maybe you've been distracted by so-and-so's fall from grace. Maybe you've been distracted by losing your job. Maybe you've been distracted by the world's calamities and you have slowed down. And instead of being focused on the finish line and the purpose and the promise and where God has called us to be, maybe we're rubbernecking and we keep looking around and we are slowed down. And a lot of more accidents happen because we're not paying attention to the road in front of us, but we are distracted by someone else's accident. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you do you, boo. On very few occasions have I pulled off the side of the road at an accident to render aid, and this is why. The times that I've done it, I was the first one on the scene. And I'm there making sure they're okay, making that call to 911. But when they got 7 police cruisers, 2 fire trucks, 3 EMS, the last thing they need is me trying to boss everybody around. So I pray for them, and you can ask my kids. Every time we tell them to do that, whenever we see those ambulances, we say prayer. God, Lord, heal them, bless them. You know what's going on. God, use those first responders. God, give them wisdom. We pray for them. But let me encourage you that sometimes you cannot stop and render aid because you are going to be slowed down from your purpose, or worse, you are going to get caught up in the next accident of rubberneckers that have been distracted. Can I encourage you, get laser focused on what God has called you to do. Don't let anybody else's wreck. I know a lot of people. One of the people that I had admired over the last few years, he made some silly decisions in the past 60 days, and it's cost him his marriage and his family. But you know what? It makes me sad a little bit. It makes me disappointed. But you know what it really does? It strengthens my resolve. I'm not going out like that. I'm not going to wreck like that. I'm not going to run out on my wife. I'm not going to forget my kids. I'm putting my feet down further and saying, God, I don't want to be shipwrecked like that, so I'm focused on my source. Can't distract me. Can't distract me. You can't distract me. And a lot of distractions, the explosions, it catches your eye. Bright lights catch your eye and you turn. But remember, everything that glitters ain't gold. Everything that glitters ain't good. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. They don't have this portion of scripture in the media booth because I'm just gonna go through it real quick. This is the account of Jesus, and he has sent his disciples on the boat, and he has sent them to the other side, and the storm wells up, and Jesus begins to walk on water. He walks on water out to the boat. The Bible says that he was going to pass them by. Jesus was not going to the boat. Jesus was walking to the other side. They happened to see Jesus. Said, it looks like a ghost. They were afraid. They were acting silly. And Peter says, Jesus, if that's you, so distracted that they don't even know who Jesus is. They live with the man. They've heard him teach and preach for hours. They've seen miracle after miracle. They're so confused by the wind, by the waves, by the hurricane that had blown up, they don't recognize Jesus. Church, we are in a bad place when we don't recognize who Jesus is and who he's not, what he's for and what he's not. There are churches all over our city and all over the nation that are having church today, and Jesus will not even show up to the service, and they're going to talk about what a great service it was. I don't want to have good services. I want Jesus to show up, and I want us to recognize when him and his spirit come in the building, because when he comes in the building, that's when the miracles flow. He says, if that's you, that's a big question. It shows where Peter is. If that's you, bid me to walk to you on the water. He says, Peter, come. Walk to me on the water. This is really not the direction of this message, but I want to spend 2 minutes right here just showing you something that God showed me. About 10 or 12 years ago, I was at a youth winter camp right up the road in New Braunfels. I can take you to the room. I can take you to the place I was standing when one of our youth leaders got up to preach and said something so profound, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit because I've thought about it almost every day of the last 10 or 12 years. And this is what they said. It was the first session of camp. He said, you better be careful operating at a level of faith that you're not willing to live at. Because you show God, this is what I'm capable of. And then for the rest of your week or day or month, you live down here. When God says, hold on, I know what you're capable of. I know what you can do. See, that's for when our eyes are so locked into Jesus. That's when it's not a Sunday thing or a Wednesday thing. It's an everyday thing. It's when we talk to Jesus more than we talk to our spouse. And you say, well, I don't pray that much. Oh, you pray more than you think. Man, I pray at the stoplight. I pray in my truck. I pray in my office. Sometimes they're 2-minute prayers. Sometimes they're 10-second prayers. But it said, you better be careful operating at a level of faith that you're not willing to live at. Because you show Jesus, this is what I'm capable of. You set the bar high. And then for the rest of your life, you live low. Check this out. I've never thought about this until I was studying this. Peter walks on water. What happens to Peter? He sinks. Why does he sink? He's distracted. Jesus is in front of him. as close from me to Sean sitting here on the front row. Peter is locked in. He is now walking not only on water. It ain't a swimming pool, y'all. The waves are bouncing. And Peter's staying on top of what everybody else sinks into. Come on now. That's a word for somebody. Just because your family sinks into it doesn't mean you have to sink into it. Just because your generation sinks into it, you don't have to sink into it. You can walk on what everybody else sinks into. So he's walking on water. He's looking at Jesus. Then he starts looking around Jesus. Starts looking at the wind and waves. Starts looking at himself. And he begins to sink. I love how quick, though, he snaps back into it. He says, Jesus, save me. He got close enough to Jesus in the storm that he called out to Jesus, save me. Jesus saves him. They walk back to the boat. I would love to hear the conversation on the boat between the other 11 and the 12. But I always make this point before my next point is that they can make fun of him all they want. And even if he only lasted 10, 12, 14, 16 steps, he is the only man besides Jesus to ever walk on water. But here's what God showed me. For the rest of Peter's life, every time he sees water, he remembers what he was capable of doing when he was locked in. But he only did it one time in his life, and he never did it again. He's a fisherman. Don't you know he didn't want to go down to Port A anymore? Because he said, at one moment in my life when I was locked into Jesus, I walked on water, and now I got to get in a boat like everybody else. Now I got to swim in it like everybody else. Can I encourage you, for those of you that have been healed of cancer, for those of you that God has saved and restored, can I encourage you that moment of faith when everything was flowing right and you had faith as a mustard seed and you were moving mountains? Can I ask you today, where is that faith? Where is that believer? Where is that Peter? You showcased it that day. God, when I am locked in on you, this is what I'm capable of. Can we get back to that? Can we get back to that? You are sitting in a church where people have come out of wheelchairs. You are sitting in a church where people walk in here with AIDS and HIV, and we laid hands on them and God radically healed them. Doctor reported. You are sitting in a place where thousands, that's not an exaggeration, thousands of people have been healed of cancer and leukemia and tumors. You are sitting in a place where people got divorced only for God to restore them and then marry each other again. You are in that place. Where did that faith go? Where did those people go? I've got news. We are still here. We are about to lock in on the source. And when we lock in on the source, miracles, signs, wonders. Where are those people? They're right here. Where are those worshipers? They're right here. Where are the water walkers? They're right here. Where are the demon slayers? They're right here. Where are the healers and the demon caster outers? They're right here. We are those people. We're going to lock in on the source. We're going to lock in on the source. Every time he turned on the sink at his house, he breathed a sigh. I used to be able to walk on that. Every time he went to the river, his kids are playing in the water. And he can't have fun because he remembers what his faith used to be like. I'm talking to somebody today. I'm talking to some people that you've been saved too long and you've forgotten what it was like to be excited. You've forgotten what it was like to be like Peter, wielding a sword. You forgot what it was like to go toe-to-toe with the devil and not go hide in the corner and not cower in the hallway, but you were looking for demons to fight. We're going to awaken those giants back up. We're going to lock you back into the source that is Jesus, so that when you leave this place, everything he called you to do, which is, the Bible says, these signs will follow believers. Where is that faith at? It only happens when you're locked in to the sword. You know what happens? We treat Jesus as our lifeboat. The only time we lock in that way is when we get a doctor's report that is contrary. We're not locked in on wedding days. We're locked in, or we lock in on Jesus when the door is slammed, a fist has been run through the drywall, and someone says they're never coming back. Then we turn to Jesus. I have people in my life, and I know them by name, that you can count on them to cycle through Living Way about twice a year. And when they come in, shoulders are slumped, heads down, come to an altar, fill them with faith. And they're good until they get what they need. And then they are not locked into the source. And they go right back to the things that caused them to come in with their shoulders slumped, head down. We are not those people. Can I just encourage you, if COVID couldn't keep you from church and you're here today, you are the one. If all the racial tension keeps you coming to a church that looks like heaven, where we got white, black, brown, yellow, red, pink, polka dot, it doesn't matter. If all of the social unrest, it didn't keep you from coming to the house of God, then you are the ones I'm talking about. We are locked in. We are ready to take a city. We are ready to take a generation. We are ready to do what God has called us to do. I'm not waiting. I am. You are the answer to this world. And I feel such a strong spirit in this house today, calling that faith back. Calling that faith back that you know works. Calling that faith. Quit saving it for a rainy day. Let's start using it on sunny days. Let's quit using it just in valleys. Let's start using it on the mountaintops. Let's quit just using it. You know, faith is bigger than just cancer. It's bigger than just money. It'll handle anything you can throw at it. Distraction. Peter distracted. He never went back to what he was. When Jesus resurrects, does anybody remember where he finds Peter? Fishing, completely naked. And he is in the boat, in the water. Man, what a sad, sad commentary that was. Went from walking on water to bipolar, naked, swimming in the water. That's a long, far trip and fall for someone in a few months. But the good thing is when he gets his clothes on and he sits around the fire with Jesus. Jesus says, hey, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Then he says, hey, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Feed my sheep. Hey, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love. Why three times? Because every time he asked him, his focus got closer. And it's like, why does God keep asking me the same thing? He's getting you back aligned. Maybe God has to ask you seven times because you were so far out of whack and out of the will. And he has to ask you five times because every time you make a turn and you make a click, the third time he said, if you love me, feed my sheep. He's locked in now. I'm going to end with this, Pastor Becky, if you'll get ready. Peter stands in Cornelius' house just a few months after all of this transpires. And he says, I perceive that God is no respecter of people. 3,000 Gentiles get filled with the Holy Ghost in the house of Cornelius from one statement. Justin Timberlake made millions singing about getting his sexy back. That is not nothing that any of us need. But can I talk to you about getting your faith back? Can I talk to you about getting the faith that saved you back? Can I talk to you about getting the faith that healed you back? Can I talk about the faith that restored your marriage,
that you used to be. There's some people in this place that you spent some time in psychiatric care, but God delivered you and gave you a right mind. Can we talk about that faith? Can we talk about the faith that rose Jesus from the dead? Can we talk about the faith that in the New Testament, signs and wonders, can we get back to that faith? You know what's going to fill this building? TV? Maybe, probably not. Social media? Maybe, probably not. You know what's going to fill this building? Faith. And not just saying it. You get 10 documented cases of HIV being healed. We'll have to have 8 services. You let this place be a place where when people come, they are forever changed. You get 10 crackheads delivered. You say, you should be nicer. No, a crackhead is a crackhead. Just like an alcoholic is an I'm not going to say, well, they have a problem. They are what they are until God changes them. Some of us need to be, it needs to be put in our face. This is how you are viewed. This is what you are, but that is not the last page in your story. God will flip the script for you if you will focus back on Him. Or maybe, just maybe, you're in this room and you've never focused on Jesus. I'm talking to you in my final moments. This world without Jesus is a crazy world with no chance of civility, of normalcy, of peace, of joy, of happiness. You'll have what you have, but for those of us that know Jesus as our Savior and our Lord, those of us that are following Him, believers, disciples of Jesus, in the midst of all that is happening, I still have peace, still have joy. My house is a very peaceful place. My office is a very peaceful place. Save the drama for your mama. I don't let it come in because of Jesus. Sickness can't stay because of Jesus. My dad sitting right there has had multiple cancer reports. My mom's had multiple cancer reports. My brother beat cancer 2 years ago. My wife was born crippled, and she walks a very fine walk now. Our daughter was born, the one that was singing here, she didn't speak until she was almost 4 years old, and now she speaks. Tyler had terrible vision, and God used a man of God named Jonathan Suber, who had a miracle this week of healing, to blow in his faith, and Tyler hasn't worn glasses since and has 20/15 vision. I am here to tell you that faith can do it, and when you lock in on the source, and when Jesus is your source, there is nothing that my God cannot do. There is nothing that God cannot do for you. I want to introduce you to Jesus for the first time or the fifth time. If you need Jesus, this is your moment. I'm going to close with this. Everybody standing to your feet, every able-bodied person. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, God bless you, Chris. One of the most faithful guys I know. One of the most consistent guys I know. Come on, here they come. Come on, Anthony. Come on, Vivi. Come on, Natasha. Here they come. They're still streaming. Let's celebrate them as they walk. Let's celebrate them as they walk. These are big steps. They're connecting to the source today. They're connecting.